And it's ironic, around Halloween, things get darker. Things get darker earlier. I want to read from Holidays on the Net. This is the story of Halloween. Halloween is one of the oldest holidays, with its origins going back thousands of years. The holiday we know as Halloween has many influences from many cultures over the centuries. From the Roman Pomona Day, the Celtic festivals of Samhain, to the Christian holidays of All Saints and All Souls Days. Hundreds of years ago, in what is now Great Britain and Northern France, lived the Celts, and the Celts worshipped nature. That is a common pagan custom, to worship nature and the physical things around. They had many gods, and the sun god was their favorite, and it was he who commanded their work and their rest times. I found that interesting. And who made the earth beautiful and made crops grow. So they just took what God did and said, no, this is the God that did this. So many of the pagan customs of this world have come to twist what God has said, and it twists who God is. They'll say, here's the God that delivered, just like with the children of Israel. You love how he said, I just threw the gold in and out came the calf, but this is the God that delivered you. There have been many different beliefs concerning these festivals and concerning the pagan gods. But there's a lot of different beliefs about winter and darkness at this time of year. There's a lot of customs and practices that come with these particular beliefs. Even within the church, sometimes people have anxieties or fears over the spirit world or over the darkness. Superstition. There's a lot of superstition where people will think of or have been trained or taught from their youth, just like children are taught, oh, the tooth fairy comes and takes your tooth and gives you money. Or Santa Claus comes and he comes down the chimney and gives you presents. There's a lot of superstitions and a lot of things that people have been taught that they've learned to adapt over the years and believe. And not just superstition, but tales or other things that were passed down. I'm trying to think of the word for it. Wives' tales. I was thinking mother's tales. Wives' tales. Not that the wives come up with all these stories, but wives' tales or things that people hear and then they start accepting, or superstitions that they begin to accept. There are fear over curses, or people putting curses or hexes on other people. I've actually been told that I've been cursed, or I've had curses put on me, and I'm like, oh, really? Well, you're cursed for this, and you're cursed for that. Oh, okay. nothing's ever happened, and I seriously doubt anything will. But people develop fear or anxiety over curses, that people, oh, well, they said they would put a curse on me. Well, do you fear what they could do, or do you trust that God's going to protect you? Do we fear or have anxiety over the spirit world? Because we shouldn't. Now, it's not something that we disregard and say, well, the spirit world has no power. It does. But do we trust God to protect us? Deuteronomy 31, verse 8 says, the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. God says you don't have to fear when he is the one leading you. Matthew 10 also talks about not fearing those who destroy the body but cannot destroy your spirit. Yet people still fear. People still have anxiety. People still have their minds focused on, well, they said they could do this, or I saw this happen. Years ago, there was an older gentleman that he was deaf, and I used to take notes for him. And I would sitting next to him in church. This was as I was a teenager, and I would take notes for him. And he would look over, and every once in a while he would ask me questions, and it was loud. So I had to kind of tone him down a little bit because he wanted to talk and ask me the question. What did he say? And I was like, shh, shh, shh. But he would come with the Inquirer and show me things. He said, look what's happening in the world. I'm like, you can't look at that magazine or that paper and think that those are the things that are coming. But he was convinced it's in writing. And today people are like, well, I know it's true. I saw it on Facebook. There's probably very little truth when you look at some of these particular things on Facebook. So people fear and they get anxiety over these type of things. For the Celts, their new year started November 1st. They celebrated a festival in honor of Samhain. It's spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N, but it's pronounced Samhain. And it started October 31st, so the sun set October 31st, and that's when they honored Samhain. Samhain was supposedly the Lord of Death. Not very often do we celebrate a Lord of Death. This celebration was nearly halfway between the autumn equinox and the winter solstice. Today, some modern-day pagans actually still keep this day, but they call it the Witch's New Year. Again, we look at the customs and we look at traditions or the pagan things and where they came from, and people have no idea. The belief was that on this particular evening, the souls of the dead were allowed to return to their homes. Now, when we look at it from the perspective of knowing what happens to the dead know not anything, the dead are in their graves, they're asleep. On one particular evening, the idea and the exception where people accept teachings and ideas of, well, now they're allowed to come back and return to their homes. It doesn't make sense. The world doesn't even begin to think about these things. They blindly accept. Or they'll say, well, I know none of that's true, or I don't keep Halloween, or I don't keep festivals because of that. But is there any rationale that seems to be thrown out the window and people don't use what used to be called common sense? Now, when I was growing up, I was told that many times, use your common sense. Then common sense was not common anymore, and you don't hear that phrase used very much. But common sense. Now, we see the blending and the deception that runs so deep within what the world believes and what they keep in these festivals, and many of them don't know they're attached to the pagan festivals, or they do, but they're like, it's so blended that they really don't pay too much attention to it and don't accept that they're wrong. According to Huffington Post article, this is on Samhain, it is one of eight annual festivals commonly celebrated by pagans of various traditions, along with Imbolc, Ostara, Beltane, Midsummer, Lugansad, Mabon, and Yule. It's interesting that the pagans had eight annual festivals. Eight annual festivals, kind of like a bait and switch. With, you know, God has festivals. He has annual festivals, the spring and the fall. We need to have annual festivals. And the pagans begin to have these festivals. The article goes on, it's considered a liminal time when the veil between life and death grows thin. Food is set aside for ancestors and protective spirits, and rituals honoring the dead take place. So you have to think, okay, people are putting food out for the dead. Do dead people eat food? That should be a question even a child would ask. Well, why are we putting food out if they're dead? Are dead people are going to eat this food? Samhain is believed to be one of the original festivals behind the holiday that is known as Halloween. Some also associate it to the Christian All Saints Day, which is on November 1st. The Yellow Book of Lacan, a medieval book of tales, reported that people referred to Samhain as the feast of Mongfind, a legendary witch queen who married the king of Tara in Old Ireland and was central to ancient Samhain celebrations. Selena Fox of Circle Sanctuaries writes. So these pagan festivals, and I know we've looked at Halloween at various times over the years, and I haven't covered Halloween itself like I plan to today. But there's a lot of information and a lot of things, and it's just so clear how it is attached to these pagan festivals. The article goes on, some of Halloween's most common traditions are rooted in the Samhain harvest festival roots, such as the carving of pumpkins or bobbing for apples. And every today, entire towns sometimes, they fill the town square, and there's pumpkin carving and bobbing for apples by an entire town. Some celebrate Samhain with a ritual to guide the dead home by opening up western-facing doors or windows and placing a candle at the opening. Now, that's done at Christmas time as well, placing candles in the windows. And that too has to do with the winter solstice. But that was done and is still part of today. Today they put pumpkins. The pumpkin carving is still there. And they put lights or candles within the pumpkins, or they put the candles in the windows. And that is to guide the dead. And I don't think for us, we wouldn't say, well, I want to guide the dead back to my house. We wouldn't do that. And common sense tells you that's not something that would take place. But it is a ritual that is done by millions today who continue to keep Halloween. Now, I made reference to All Saints Day, and All Saints Day was something that followed on November 1st. And you think, well, that sounds more Christian, All Saints Day. Where did All Saints Day come from? www.catholic.org states, All Saints Day is a solemn holy day of the Catholic Church. Now, we understand that God is who makes things holy. This is a holy day of the Catholic Church, celebrated annually on November 1st. The day is dedicated to the saints of the church, that is, all who have attained heaven. It should not be confused with All Souls Day, which is observed November 2nd. All Saints Day is November 1st. All Souls Day is November 2nd. And it is dedicated to those who have died but haven't reached heaven. So All Saints Day is they went to heaven. All Souls Day is they're on their way. And you have to question, how do they know where they are, or if they're in heaven or if they're on their way when they're buried in the ground? All Saints Day was formally started by Pope Boniface IV, who consecrated the Parthenon at Rome. We got to see the Parthenon and walk into that and see that particular building. Now some of history comes alive when you've stood there and looked at those things. But All Saints Day was started by Pope Boniface. He consecrated it in the Parthenon at Rome to the Virgin Mary and all the martyrs on May 13th of 609 A.D. Boniface IV also established All Souls Day, which follows All Saints Day. Although nearly everyone celebrates Halloween for the fun of the secular holiday, the following religious solemnity is not widely practiced and acknowledged by most Americans unless they're Catholic. In other countries such as Portugal, Spain, and Mexico, traditional practices include the performance of the play Don Juan Tenorio and offerings made to the dead. All Saints Day occurs on the same day as the Mexican Dia de los Inocentes. I got that. I saw nods. I got that one. Dia de los Inocentes, a day dedicated to deceased children. So the day of the innocents, the innocent children. Across much of Europe, the day is commemorated with offerings of flowers left on the graves of the dead. In Eastern Europe, candles are lit on the graves instead of offering flowers. In some places, such as the Philippines, graves can be painted and repaired by family members, and many of these practices blur the distinction between All Saints Day and All Souls Day. So they're kind of keeping the same days, but blending it, saying, well, we're not Catholic, we're not doing that, we're doing this, but doing it at the same time and instituting their own system of how they do it. These celebrations often blur the distinction between All Saints Day, which is properly dedicated to those who are in heaven, and All Souls Day, on which the prayers are offered to all those who have died but haven't reached heaven. In Mexico, the Day of the Dead, holy days, extend from October 31st to November 2nd. The same period of time we're looking at Halloween, All Saints Day, All Souls Day, Samhain, all of the festivals that have been kept in pagan tradition. It is important to remember these basic facts. Now, this is the article. Halloween is a secular holiday that comes the night before All Saints Day. All Saints Day is on November 1st and is a holy day of obligation. All Souls Day is November 2nd and is not a holy day of obligation. So you can honor the dead that went to heaven, but you can't as holy, but you can't look at the All Souls Day as holy because they haven't made it to heaven. The Day of the Dead is a Mexican holiday that has spread in popularity in parts of the United States and across Latin America. It is celebrated from October 31st to December 2nd to coincide with both the American tradition and the Catholic holy days, and those 3 days are dedicated to all of the dead. do we see the similarities in the beliefs, the customs, the traditions, and where they came from? Research shows that the pagan festival of Samhain is the source of the modern-day Halloween and its customs. It is focused on the dead. It's focused on the spirits of the dead. And All Saints' Day is at the same period of time, and it tries to distinguish itself from the pagan Samhain. Oh, no, we're not keeping the pagan day of Samhain. It's just the same time and with, yeah, it deals with the dead, deals with these spirits, but it's not the same thing. Notice this description of All Saints' Day. And I'm going to quote a reliable source, Wikipedia. No, it's not a reliable source, but it is. There's a lot of information, and more information is being made possible there. But All Saints' Day, also known as All Hallows, or the Day of Saints, or Solemnity of the All Saints, or the Feast of All Saints. It is a solemn celebration on November 1st by the Roman Catholic Church and various Protestant denominations. You have the Protestants who protested against the Catholic Church, but they still keep the same days. And on the first Sunday after the Eastern Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy, in honor of all the saints known and unknown, the liturgical celebrations begin at Vespers on the evening of October 31st and end close to the end of November 1st, and thus the day before All Souls' Day. Hallow Mass, just like Halloween, except Hallow Mass, is another term for the feast, and it was used by Shakespeare in this particular sense. So the All Saints' Day or All Souls' Day was also considered Hallow Mass. All Hallows, All Hallow Eve, and where we get today, the modern term Halloween, all came from this Hallow Mass, Halloween, All Hallows' Day, All Saints' Day, All Souls' Day. It all ties back to the same, and the source is the same, which is paganism. And it is a deception of Satan to, you see how many millions, if not billions in the world, are deceived by this. And how are so many deceived, and how did all of this come from pagan origins, yet it's so widely accepted, even among those who claim to be Christian? I'm not Catholic, I'm not Protestant, I'm not, you know, I don't believe in these other things. I'm Christian, but I'm going to have fun with Halloween. I'm going to dress my kids up, or I'm going to go to Halloween parties and enjoy this pagan festival. Well, the same is the same situation with other holidays of the world and where they came from. There are many of them are tied back into pagan worship, and some of them coming from either Samhain or coming from the winter solstice. And now those customs have spread to all different holidays of the world throughout the year. Here's an article, Halloween, the Fantasy and Folklore of All Hallows by Jack Santino. Halloween had its beginnings in the ancient pre-Christian Celtic festival of the dead. The Celtic peoples who were once found all over Europe divided the year by four major holidays. According to their calendar, the year began on a day that corresponded to November 1st on our present calendar, and the date marked the beginning of winter. Now remember, they worshipped the darkness changing to light. Many of them had bonfires or had celebrations or religious celebrations where they tried to call the daylight back. They thought, we're losing the daylight every year, we have to call it back, we have to do these ceremonies to their gods. The festival observed at this time was called Samhain, and it was the biggest and most significant holiday of the Celtic year. The Celts believed that at this time of Samhain, more than any other time in the year, the ghosts of the dead were able to mingle with the living because Samhain, at Samhain, the souls of those who had died during the year traveled into the other world. So they believe because it's changing and this is the darkest time of the year, this is when spirits can just roam the world and they're traveling again. Now, you look at other religions and they say, no, they're in heaven. They came back. for this particular evening in their minds. But it's much like All Saints Day. Again, the idea that they traveled, or All Souls Day, where they are traveling. They haven't quite made it to heaven. People gathered to sacrifice animals and offer fruits and vegetables. They also lit bonfires in honor of the dead and to aid them on their journey. And they built, or they on their journey, and to keep them away from the living. Now, some say that they tried to keep them away from the living. That's why they built the bonfires. But yet they put the candle in the window to guide and direct their relative dead back to their home. So it says, on that day, all manner of beings were abroad. Ghosts, fairies, demons, all a part of the dark and the dread. Even today, we see costumes. We see people dressed up. And we'll probably see that again this coming week with Halloween. People dressed as ghosts, fairies, demons, devils, evil. Now, they dress as other things, too, and they try to dress as cute things, but they walk the streets decorated as something else, or pretending to be something else. But then their idea was ghosts, fairies, and demons. And they would thought that they were traveling at that time. Samhain became the Halloween we are familiar with when Christian missionaries attempted to change the religious practices of the Celtic people. Oh, we can go in there, we can make them, we'll change their pagan customs, we'll get them to drop all of that, and they'll become Christian. False Christians, but Christian. That was their idea. In the early centuries, in the first millennial AD, before missionaries such as St. Patrick and St. Comensal converted them to Christianity, the Celts practiced an elaborate religion through their priestly caste and the Druids, who were priests, poets, scientists, and scholars all at once. As religious leaders, ritual specialists, and bearers of learning, the Druids were not unlike the very missionaries or monks who were there to Christianize their people and to brand them evil devil worshipers. As a result of their effort to wipe out the pagan holidays, such as Samhain, the Christians succeeded in effecting major transformations in it. They didn't wipe it out. They made transformations. And notice how that transformation was made. In 601 AD, Pope Gregory I issued now the famous edict to his missionaries concerning the native beliefs and customs of the people that he hoped to convert. Rather than try to obliterate the native customs of the people and their beliefs, the Pope instructed his missionaries to use them. Well, the old saying, if you can't beat them, join them. He says, if you can't wipe out their pagan customs, let's use them. If a group of people worshipped a tree, rather than cut it down, he advised them to consecrate it to Christ and allow its continued worship. So it's the blending of religions. And that is nothing new, because it goes back to the Garden of Eden. Has God said, if you eat of this fruit, you shall not die? Let me take part of lies and part of the truth that God gave you and weave them together. And that has been used by many and false teachers and by even Satan himself in blending things over thousands of years. Truth mixed with error. And it is continuing to be Satan's lie. One more paragraph from this article says, the Christian feast of All Saints was assigned to November 1st. The day honored every Christian saint, especially those that did not otherwise have a special day devoted to them. if you don't have a special day, okay, you fall in All Saints Day. This feast was meant to substitute for Samhain. That's how All Saints Day was established. It's a substitute for Samhain. We're still going to worship dead and our family members who are dead, or the dead in general, but it was meant to substitute for Samhain and to draw the devotion of the Celtic peoples and finally replace it forever. That did not happen, but the traditional Celtic deities diminished in status, becoming fairies and leprechauns and of more recent traditions. So it never went away. They were blended. They were hidden. And even today, it's blended and hidden. People go, yeah, I know, I've heard that, but that's not why we do it, and it doesn't matter to me where it came from. We do it for fun. So the worship of these various customs mentioned go back to the Celtics, but they even go back further than the Celtics. Pagans long ago worshipped darkness. They worshipped the dead. They worshipped spirits and have developed many of these pagan customs that are still used today. The Celts picked it up from them. And these customs go back to most of the holidays that we see people keeping today, yet without question. You know, I don't need to know where it came from. I'm just enjoying it because everybody else is doing it. So we ask the question, how could Christianity follow such practices? It was woven into Christianity by trying to get rid of it. But when they couldn't, they wove it in and let's call All Saints Day, All Souls Day, Halloween, All Hallows Eve, Samhain. Let's blend these together and people won't know. The definition of a Christian is one who follows Christ. And when we look at that, what does the Word of God say concerning these things? What does it say about pagan worship? What does it say about pagan holidays? Halloween, witches, wizards, spirits, talking to the dead. God addresses all of these things. It's interesting concerning these holidays itself and how they contrast with light and darkness. Because God's Word over and over talks about darkness and light. And especially Halloween, even the winter solstice and Christmas worship is about the changing of light from darkness to light. But Halloween itself focuses on darkness. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19. Isaiah 8 and verse 19. When they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? People do that today. Well, I just don't know where they are. I don't know if they're in heaven. I don't know if they're burning in an everlasting hell. I need to contact my relatives and talk to the dead. Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Those who do those things do not have light in them. They are in the darkness. People today not only seek witches, mediums, wizards, they try to contact the dead, but on Halloween, they dress like them. It's like you have to portray yourself as one of these things that God says has no light in them. Don't be a part of it. They dress like them. They hold parties on this festival. They portray the dead or try to conjure the dead. They still put candles, lanterns, and pumpkins with lanterns in them to direct the dead. And these practices all derived from evil. Those who participate in them are doing evil. Now, sometimes members or even most of the time as people in the world who consider themselves Christians say, well, you know, I don't do it for that. I do it because it's fun for the kids and they get candy. And you're still portraying yourself as evil. You're still celebrating an evil pagan festival. They are of Satan. And when you are training your children to follow these same practices, and they're going to teach it to their generations, they are worshiping Satan. I was thinking about this as I was putting the sermon together, thinking about all of the uneducating that is going to be necessary when we teach the world. When God finally opens their minds and removes that veil that Satan has placed on them to say, there are so many falsehoods, you're not even going to believe what you have done and what you have kept and where it all came from and why it's so evil and why you didn't have a relationship with God then, because you have to get rid of all that. 3 John. 3 John 1:11. I'm going to read from the New King James. It says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil." Okay, there's a straight command from God. Don't imitate what is evil. But this week, and probably already, you see it in the workplaces, people imitating what is evil. They're dressed as skeletons. They're dressed as the Walking Dead. They're dressed as all these other things. He said, "But rather, what is good? He who does good is of God, and he who does evil has not seen God." That's why I say when God removes that veil and they're now allowed to see God, it's like Paul talks about. Are you now ashamed of those things which you once did? They're going to look back at their life and go, I thought I was a Christian, but I was doing things in total opposition to God. And over throughout scriptures, the passages are there about not seeing God or not knowing God because of sin. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 6. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 6. "Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor knows him." And so to celebrate pagan festivals is to live in sin, and people do not see God, they don't know God, and of course they can't have that common sense or the idea of looking at that saying, what I'm doing is ridiculous or what I'm doing is in total opposition. They do not see God, nor do they know him. "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For his purpose, the Son of God was manifested," or for this purpose, "and he that he might destroy the works of the devil." So, as a Christian, you destroy those works within yourself. You help destroy those things within the body of Christ. Yet people will follow these modern-day customs, and even self-professing Christians, and even some customs of the world and pagan customs, even within the church today. People say, well, that part's really not so bad, or I've never heard about that or where that came from. And some people say, I don't want to know where that came from because I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And they can keep a clear conscience by saying, I don't know, because they don't want to know. Now, some may not keep Halloween and Christmas, but other things that seem less harmless, and I say seem, like there's a way that seems right to a man, they seem less harmless. New Year's Day, people have said, oh, Christmas is wrong, but there's nothing wrong with New Year's, and they go out and celebrate New Year's. St. Patty's Day, oh, that's just an Irish festival, and it's a good day to go out and drink. Or you wear green so somebody doesn't pinch you, and all the other customs that go with St. Patty's Day. Or they say it's really not so bad, or we don't keep those for the wrong reasons. We celebrate New Year's because it's just the Roman calendar New Year. Yet, it's the foot in the door. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. It's what we see today. And I remember hearing these passages as a teenager, and people were using that phrase, oh, that is so bad. And that meant it was good. Here it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Today, we're looking at evil festivals, evil customs, pagan traditions, things that God says, you were of the devil, and people call it good. Oh, this is good for the kids. It's a good evening. He says, "Who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." He said, those who do this bait and switch, like we read earlier, of the popes who began to go in and change things and say, okay, we couldn't get rid of it, let's blend it in, let's make it okay. They did what is right in their own eyes, and they were prudent in their own sight. Those who justify these things try to justify it in their own eyes, and yet they are focused on the dead, demons, zombies, evil spirits, ghosts. People are afraid of ghost, and more programs have come out about ghost and about ghost hunting and finding ghosts, and they've got digital equipment to try to find where these ghosts are. Clearly, they don't understand spirit. But they're growing trends, especially in media and entertainment. The more evil and the more disgusting or the more satanic it is, more and more individuals want to see that. And it has been heading that direction for years, and it's becoming more and more the focus. Satan is selling his lies. Satan is selling the world on entertainment about evil. Ezekiel 28 talks about Satan trading or trafficking, and it means selling his merchandise. In the King James Version, it says trafficking. And in the word in the King James means something that is peddled. And you think, well, Satan doesn't go around with a little basket and selling things to people and peddling his goods. What is it that he peddles? He's the prince of the power of the air, and he's peddling attitudes. He's peddling entertainment. He's peddling a way of thinking. And with those who are focused on evil, focused on the dead, focused on witches and witchcraft, again, they're buying it. And God says, if you buy into that, you don't know God. What's more is these things are accepted as good, or portraying evil for good. Movies, TV shows, games, and it's considered all in fun. To the spirit world, it's not all in fun. They're celebrating because they look at mankind as these are so easily deceptive. The spirit world is real, and it's not to be looked at lightly. When I say we don't fear that and we shouldn't have anxiety over the spirit world or on what people think they can do as hexes and potions and all of these things, it's not something we should fear, but it's something that we should understand. There is a spirit world, and it does operate much differently than the world portrays it. Are we some of those who are in Isaiah chapter 5, wise in our own eyes, and think, well, I know these things aren't real, or I can't be deceived by these things that are out there? You will, if you allow yourself to become part of them. If you begin to accept parts of those, or if you're entertained by those things, if you're willing to try the particular things that Satan is offering and willing to buy into it, then you already are deceived. It's not a matter of, well, I can't be. I can see these things. You're already deceived if you have bought into the idea, oh, it's okay to just dabble, or this isn't so bad, or this isn't as bad as this. But the problem is, you look at what was bad in the 70s and the 80s, and you look at today and you go, well, that's not so bad. But now, as time goes on, what's bad and what's getting bad is changing. And so the level of what is bad has now risen. And if we could jump back in time into the 70s and 80s and look at what's happening today, we'd go, oh, wow, that's bad. But we have been the frog in the pot and have grown along with it. Why submit yourself to something that is evil, even if there's the slightest chance of deception? James 4, verse 7 says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Not dress up like the devil. Not focus on, well, let's look at the devil and the dead and see if we can put a light in the window and call him to our house. Yet many are so naive to Satan's power, and sometimes, I dare say, even within the church, naive to how the spirit world operates. It's the same when it comes to accepting truth from a teacher that speaks lies. Well, I'm mature enough spiritually, I can decipher, but I like to listen to this, even though I know he's off or wrong. I can listen to it because I can decipher between those things. It's just putting your foot in the door in a wrong direction. Do you think that Satan deceived one-third of perfectly created angelic beings, but he can't deceive you? Think about the power that he has and the power of deception. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. You he has made alive, or as King James, you he has quickened, who were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now works in the children or the sons of disobedience. So he said, you once walked according to the course of this world. When you look at the pagan customs that are being celebrated today and even the concepts of the dead and the spirit world, and walk in those things, you once walked according to the course of this world. You were following right along with the world, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature, the children of wrath, just as others. We were once deceived. And you trust me, you don't want to go back to deception again. We don't want to entertain those things that can take us back into deception. You don't want to accept things that you know is a blending of truth and error and say, I can decipher between it. Let me take in that meal. Let me take in the spiritual food, and I can decipher what's right and what's wrong. If you know what's wrong and you know parts of it are wrong, it should be rejected. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Are we willing to look back and go back to something because of our self-deception that we can't be deceived? That is a warning over and over in the New Testament, is don't be deceived. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on those things so you can defend yourself from the spiritual realm, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't have the physical wars against the flesh and blood to make a spiritual point. But whether we fight against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, and spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places, that is the battle that we fight. But we have to understand, it's not just, okay, as long as I can fight the spirit world and keep them at bay, the spirit world is blended in with the physical things around us, and it is there to deceive. For we do not wrestle against that, but the principality, powers, rulers of darkness, and host of wickedness. And yet on a day like Halloween, those things are honored. It is a focus on rulers of darkness, host of wickedness. It is basically a night to honor Satan. And on a day like Halloween, people blindly honor the God of this world. On the so-called other holidays, these things are honored. Because if they are following the pagan customs and where these things came from, then they're following the one who put them into practice, which was Satan. Satan knows what your weaknesses are, and he knows what he needs to do to try to sway you. Whatever battle it is you struggle with, he will use it against you. If you have a fear of the spirit world, he will focus on that fear, because the more fear he can put in you, the more disoriented and the more confused you are. If it's money, if it's drugs, sex, gossip, prophecy, power, itching ears, demonic movies, curses, old wives' tales, whatever it may be. If you are focused on those things or are uncertain about those things or have a fear of those things or it creates anxiety, Satan will use it as your downfall. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Ephesians 5 and verse 11. Says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That right there would tell you to stay away from Halloween. But rather expose them. The Greek actually says, tell its fault. Albert Barnes states, their lives should be a standing rebuke of a sinful world, and they should be ready to express their disapprobation of its wickedness in every form. Halloween, Christmas, New Year's, and the darkness of the pagan customs, the darkness and the winter solstice, they're all of darkness. So he says, expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship with it. Clark commentary says of this phrase, expose them, convince them that they are wrong, confute them in vain reasons, and reprove them for their vices. Says you just turn it around and get it out of your mind, get it out of the church. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. And whatever makes manifest is light. The word manifest means revealed. Whatever is opened up, revealed, shown, is of light. Whatever reveals them for what they are is light. And God's word reveals and shows what they are. Even man's historic books show what they are. Therefore, he says in verse 14, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly. It means you're aware, you're awake, you're aware, you're conscious about what's going on. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. This was one of the epistles, and they were writing, the days are evil. What are today's days like? We live in a time that is becoming increasingly evil, more and more. For most, a reminder may not be needed about avoiding the spirit world, avoiding the fear of the spirit world. For others, it may be a challenge, and for some, they get caught back up in the holidays of the world. I have seen, and I've had friends in the church, been in the church going on 53 years, who, Christmas is pagan, this is pagan, and decade down the line, they've got a Christmas tree in the window. They've got all the different things. They're celebrating Valentine's. They're celebrating Halloween. It's easy to go back to, and for some, it's a challenge. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. This passage is used many times when we look at individuals and courting. But it's not just about marriage relationships. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Being yoked together, being bound together in something with unbelievers. Now that could be in business, it could be in close friendships where you're bound together with someone. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Again, he says, you can't have it both ways. What accord has Christ with Belial? He said, you can't put Satan and Christ in the same area and say, well, you know, I've got a little bit of both, I'm doing okay. Why would a Christian or so-called Christian try to appease evil spirits even for one night? And yet that's part of the belief, is that you can appease the spirits. You can offer them something. Kids that dress up as something evil, you appease them so they go their way and they don't toilet paper your house or do whatever to your home. Trick or treat? Which one do you want? You either treat me or I'm going to trick you. I'm going to do something to you. That's part of the custom of going back to the Celts. What part has a believer with unbeliever? Verse 16, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? He said you can't have God's way of life and the teaching of God and the understanding and the truth of God and believe in pagan customs or celebrate pagan customs, whether you believe in them or not. And explains why. He says, because or for you are the temple of the living God. Don't bring in all of that corrupt pagan culture and things that are of darkness into that temple. And God said, I will be with them and dwell in them, and I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He said, you are the temple, and you don't want darkness within that temple. Those who do evil and follow these things have not seen God and do not know God, and they are not a temple for God. So he says in verse 17, therefore, knowing this, knowing that you are a temple and knowing you're not going to bring in darkness, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Again, something that we will be teaching when God opens the minds of individuals and Satan is bound and removed. Come out from among them. Don't act like that. Don't follow that. It was wrong. Be separate from that. And God can then begin to have a relationship with you. You will see and you will know God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, which is, when Gentiles, it doesn't mean just a particular tribe, it means the unbelievers. Don't walk as the unbelievers. Having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. He said, when they want to accept those pagan customs, God says, then they're going to be blinded and they're not going to have a relationship with me. Verse 19, it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Lewdness is also translated lasciviousness, or it comes from a word meaning something that's filthy or wanton. Is there lewdness in this festival? When we look at a lot of the customs of the world and the pagan customs or the pagan traditions that are even celebrated today, is there lewdness? Well, of all of them, Halloween is probably the most lewd, where adult costumes, adult parties, drinking binges, that's the celebration of Halloween today. With Christmas, it's mistletoe. New Year's, it's kissing at midnight. It doesn't matter who, but as long as you're next to somebody, you kiss them on New Year's. Romans uses the same word, lewdness. Therefore, God, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 24, God gave them up to uncleanness. He gave them up to lewdness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. He goes on in verse 25 of Romans, he says, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. God gave them up to uncleanness, and they exchanged the truth for a lie, meaning they had the truth, and they exchanged it for a lie. Then they worship and served the creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's all of the customs and where they came from. It is the worship of the physical. And as we read earlier, even Samhain, it's the worship of the creation. That the sun god is the one that provides the vegetables and the food, and it's the one to be worshipped. Going back to verse 20 here. But you have not learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. It says, if you had a conduct before, if you were living in a certain way, you have to put that off. And put off the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. So we're to put away the things that are a lie. And God reveals them as lies. Put away the things that are in darkness. Anything that leads a person to darkness. And that includes this particular festival as well as the others. It includes New Year's. It includes what I would say is the minor festivals or celebrations that this world keeps. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Palm readers, people who talk to the dead, people who try to conjure the dead, sorcerers, those who interpret omens, witchcraft, soothsayers, all of these things. He said these are an abomination, and because of these abominations, your Lord drives them out from before you. Do you have to fear them? No. Do you have to have anxiety over them? No. God said he drives them out before you, but you have to be in a relationship with God. We don't have to fear them, but we do have to know what they are. So Halloween may be, or this Halloween, many will be dressing up innocent children. And that's part of what's sad at this time of year, is not just, okay, these are all heathen people. This is young children, innocent children, that are being taught a custom and a way of life that God says, it's an abomination to me. Dressing their children up to celebrate a pagan festival and to celebrate darkness. It is dedicated to evil spirits. Whether they say, well, I don't keep it because it's dedicated to evil spirits. I just keep it. I just celebrate it. They're training their children to keep these days. And it's going to be the opposite when God begins to establish his government on the earth. You're going to have to start teaching, no, this is the custom. This is the way walk you in it. This is what you need to be doing. Children are going to be learning the way of the heathen, and they will teach it to their children. And that's why we say it's probably going to take generations when God's government is established on this earth. A lot of people say, oh, instantly everything's going to be great. No, you have a bunch of people who are still carnal in nature. Families will hand out treats to those coming knocking at their doors. Adults are going to dress up in lewd costumes or evil costumes or horrible outfits. They're coming out with more and more ways to look bloody, gory, dead, all of these things that society is caught up in. They're going to have parties and will drink and celebrate a festival that they have no idea what it means. To them, it's, oh, it's Halloween. I grew up with Halloween. This is what we do. The dark world knows what it is. And the dark world rejoices over the deception and seeing that so many have bought into it. They have bought what Satan is trafficking. It's a night that mankind, from so many different cultures and backgrounds, are going to observe in different ways. Some aren't observing Halloween. Some are observing Samhain. Some are observing All Saints Day and All Souls Days. They're observing these different festivals, but it is all to Satan's glory. Halloween may seem innocent, but it is of the darkness. And God says, reject it. Don't have anything to do with darkness. You are the temple of God. Put those things away from you. The world is walking in darkness, and it is getting darker and darker in the world. One final verse, John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Now we want these festivals. This is what I remember. This is tradition. It says they wanted darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. If their deeds are evil, they're separated from God. They can't see God. They don't know him. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. And again, that's the people who say, well, I know what it is, but I don't want to know any more about it because that's not why I do it. They hate the light. Reminds me of Romans 8:7, where it says they are in enmity or hatred, hostility towards God, because they hate the light. It reveals I'm doing something wrong. Verse 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light. Everything starts to become more clear. Everything becomes more visible, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. He said, when you start walking towards the light, it is very clear that person's following God. They're doing what God says. Not just somebody who hears the truth, but he who does the truth comes to the light. John 12:46 says, I've come as a light into the world. Whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Again, the darkness and light is something that is themed throughout God's word, and Satan has twisted it and said, let's celebrate the darkness. Let's celebrate a festival about the darkness. Let's celebrate a festival about evil. And people have bought into it. These are some very simple reasons why we have to come out from among them and walk in the truth. And he says, walk in the light. We are clearly entering the end of the age. And as I said, things are getting darker and darker. There is more and more deception, and there's going to be more of a weaving of truth and error for people to digest. And we need the kingdom of God on this earth and the establishment of that kingdom more than ever.